So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Are you ready to continue with our series on Sermon on the Mount? Amen? We're going to study what Jesus said, okay? All right. So we're going to bow our heads this morning and ask for his blessing upon this word. Father, thank you for your blessing upon the scriptures, God, and the anointing upon our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us individually and to us as a church today. And we thank you for all our family and friends and guests you've gathered here today. Bless them and draw them closer to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching about the true intent of the law. He wanted his disciples to know that God intended for his laws to deal with hard attitudes. Has anyone ever experienced God's word dealing with your hard attitude? Just a little bit, right? Well, the scribes and Pharisees had gotten into a pattern of works, and they were doing all the right things, but their hearts weren't right with God. So God knows that. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to raise the bar. I'm going to set the standard once again to what my heavenly Father meant when he gave the law. And so once again, we're going to hear Jesus say that you have heard it said, which means they had heard the law. But he says, I say to you, he's not changing anything, but he's bringing clarification. Sometimes we need clarification. Sometimes we just need that light bulb to go off over our head. And then have you ever said, oh, I get it now. I never saw that before. Well, this is what Jesus is doing with his disciples at the Sermon on the Mount. So we've examined up to this point Jesus' teaching on murder. He said, if you have hate in your hearts for your brother, then you've already murdered him. And we took a look at adultery and lust. Jesus said, if you lust after a woman, then you have already committed adultery with her. And he also talked about divorce. At that time, men could divorce their wife for any reason. She burnt the toast this morning. So I'm done. I'm giving you a certificate of divorce and you're out the door. We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we, ladies? Just burn a few meals in my lifetime. But that's why Leonard cooks most of the time. But Jesus wanted them to know God never intended for divorce to be something casual. And so once again, he set the standard. Because God is covenant God. And a marriage relationship represents the marriage that Jesus has with his church. Did you know that you are the bride of Christ? Yes. You're the bride. Yes. Yes. And Jesus is our bridegroom. And so we are married to Christ. And so God puts a very high value on how Christians represent that relationship, because it's the same relationship that the Son has with the church. We are blessed. We are so blessed to be the bride of Christ. So let's go on. Once again, we're going to hear Jesus say, you heard it said, but I say to you. So this next part we're studying today is the swearing of oaths. And I titled the message, Keeping Your Word. So let's read Matthew 5:33-37. And if you'd like, you can read it along with me. Again, you have heard it said. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute. Let's start all over. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Okay, so we're going to study this passage, and we're going to answer some questions. First of all, if we're going to study this, we need to know what Moses taught concerning the swearing of oaths. So that's the first thing we're going to look at, the teaching of the law. And I'm just going to read through three scriptures so that you know. Leviticus 19:12 says, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Numbers 30, verse 2, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." And Deuteronomy 23:21-23, "When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. That which has gone from your lips you shall keep and perform, for you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you promised with your mouth." And so as we read this in the Old Testament, we see how important the words of our mouth are. And the words that we say. Sometimes we just talk and say whatever we want to say without thinking that we would ever give an account for it. But in each one of these cases, as we read the scripture, the emphasis is on being truthful and being faithful. This is why the Lord gave this law, is because he wanted us to be faithful to our word, and he wanted us to be truthful when we speak. So if you swear an oath, you must mean it. If you make a promise, you must mean it. And if you make a promise, you've got to be faithful to carry out what you promised. So that's why I titled this message, "Tell Me, Keep Your Word." So truthfulness is stressed also in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, and by the prophets as well. But we're going to take a look at two Psalms that talk about truthfulness in the heart. Psalm 15:1 through 2 says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart." Psalm 24:3 through 4 says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." Truthfulness in the heart. And then there was lack of truth in the heart. And this really bothered the prophets. And I'm just going to share from one place, and that's Hosea 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed." Sort of sounds like that could apply to the world today, doesn't it? So as we look at the teaching of the law, it's really clear that vows to the Lord should be kept, and being truthful in everything was expected by God. Would you agree? Okay, so let's go on. and look at the traditional interpretation and application that the scribes and Pharisees were using. Remember, Jesus was talking, addressing how the scribes and Pharisees, well, actually, he said our righteousness was to exceed theirs. So then he goes into this teaching on the Sermon on the Mount and gives some contrasts. And so he's talking about how the scribes and Pharisees had applied it. And that's what we read in verses 34 and 36. It looks like the emphasis had shifted from being truthful in all things to honoring the vows to the Lord. Did you catch that when we read that passage at the very beginning? Jesus said in verse 33, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.'" Now, the scribes and Pharisees had put an emphasis on the vows that you made to the Lord were the ones that you had to honor. But the other things that you promised and the other things that you said, well, they had less meaning to them, so they weren't as important, so you really didn't have to keep them. Does that make sense? Okay, so their daily conversations was filled with meaningless promises, and they would say things to impress someone else, or they would add something to their conversation to try and put more emphasis and weight on what they had said. So we're going to take a look at that, because in Matthew 23, we find an example of this. Jesus says, "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he's obliged to perform it.'" Do you see what they're doing? Well, if you just swear by the temple, it's not that important. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, then you've got to keep that. "Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he's obliged to perform it." You see, once again, they're making a comparison. This one is really important, but this one does not mean that much. "Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift?" So Jesus was calling them on their tactics of trying to make themselves important and sound spiritual and, "Oh yes, I'll do that," when all the time they weren't planning to do it at all. Have you ever talked to someone that says, "Oh yeah, I'm going to do that. I promise. Believe me." They'll say, "Believe me," you know. And it's like you're like thinking, "I don't think I believe you." This is what Jesus was talking about. They were swearing by heaven, swearing by the throne of God, swearing by earth, by Jerusalem, by the altar, by the temple, and by their own head. Let's go on. Matthew 23, 20 through 22. Jesus says, "Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." In other words, we cannot swear by things without involving God. You can't put a greater weight on one thing and a lesser on the other. All of it involves God. Heaven is his throne, earth is his footstool, and only God can change the color of your hair unless you use dyes. And back then, I'm sure the women were looking for a way to color their hair. So in other words, any oath or promise that you make is to the Lord. So Jesus taught the original intent of the law was truthfulness in your heart. Let your yes mean yes. If you say yes, then your yes should be yes. This is what I'm going to do. And let your no mean no. No isn't a maybe. No is no. And anything more than that is from the evil one. It's from the evil one, because if your yes isn't yes and your no isn't no, then there isn't truth in your heart. This is what Jesus is talking about. Having truth in our heart and being faithful with the words that we speak. Out of your mouth flows words that either bring life or they will bring death. You can speak life over a situation, or you can release death over a situation. You can get up from prayer and then begin to talk and just undo everything you just prayed, because you send out these words that unhook what was just sent out to do. You see, that's being double-minded. And God said if we're double-minded, then we're unstable in all our ways. Not just a few, all our ways. And so God wants truth in our heart, and he wants truth to come out of our mouth. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is in your heart is inevitably going to come out at some time or another. And sometimes it surprises you when it comes out. Have you ever gotten that surprise? It's like, oh, I can't believe I just said that. Lord, help me. But it was in there all the time. And I always tell people, well, you know, it's okay, because God can take care of that. It's worse to have something hidden and not know it's not there. Right? It's like when some cancer is hidden in your body and you don't know it's there. Or there's another problem that's working in your body. That can cause more harm and danger to you later on than if you know it's there and you can get things taken care of, right? And it's the same way with whatever's hiding in our heart. We want God to expose it. Do you want God to expose it? Because he will. Tell your neighbor, God will. If you just said you want him to, he will. He's faithful to his word. So let's go on here. We're going to read a few more scriptures. Zechariah 8:16-19 says, these are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth and justice and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor, and do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. So God hates it when we think evil against another person in our heart. He hates it. And he hates it when we love a false oath. Let's go on to Psalm 51:6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. God wants truth in our hearts, and he wants us to know wisdom, and he wants us to know it so much, he said, I will make you to know. Aren't you glad God makes you to know? I love those God just made me to know moments. Have you experienced those? Thank you, Lord. God just made me to know that. In James 1:5, it says, if you lack wisdom, and maybe some of you sitting here today feel like you need some extra wisdom. And we all do, right? Tell your neighbor you need wisdom. Tell him I need wisdom. I need wisdom. James 1:5 says, if we lack it, All we have to do is ask God. And He's going to give it to us. He's not going to make fun of us because we ask Him. And some people are afraid to ask questions or ask for anything because they were told no so many times, or someone laughed at their question and made fun of them. It's just kind of like people will go through life and not ask for anything. And that's why the scripture says you have not because you ask not. God wants us to ask for wisdom. He is ready to give us a download. Do you need a download of wisdom? I'll take a download of wisdom. Wisdom from above. It's peaceable. It brings peace into your life. It shows you your next step and what you need to do. But you see, God gets us in a place where we've got to go to Him to ask Him. He loves to get you in that tight place where you're squirming and you're saying, God, I need your help. I need your wisdom. And you know what? When we ask, He is so faithful. He just downloads His wisdom to us. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. So we're going to deal with one more thing, because a question can come up whether or not it is okay for us to make an oath in judicial matters. I solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. You know what I'm talking about? In judicial matters, you are asked to make an oath. So often the question is asked, can Christians swear an oath under certain conditions? Well, when Jesus said in Matthew, swear not at all, He was referring to just flippant, hypocritical oaths that were commonly voiced by people. Okay? The oaths were made to make impressions, and they were used to just spice up the conversation, and they were never intended to be kept. They were just making promises and oaths for, because it sounded good. So in Matthew, we find that Jesus was willing to answer under oath in the Sanhedrin court. So we're going to read that. Matthew 26, 63 through 64 says, but Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to Him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So Jesus was put under oath to answer a question. And there are some other scriptures I have in your outline that you can study on your own, because God swore an oath to us. And Paul made some solemn oaths in the epistles. And also in the book of Revelation, an angel of God swore an oath. So when Jesus said, swear not at all, there could be an exception to judicial circumstances and also to religious importance. In our country, we are allowed the option to confidently affirm in judicial manners. They have some wording that, so you're not saying, I swear, and making an oath, but they'll allow you to do something else. So we're not going to judge people who decide to solemnly swear an oath in court. It is totally up to you and your convictions. But we do see some exceptions in the scripture. And that's what I wanted to show you today. So our conclusion of all of this study is three things. The scribes and the Pharisees were spicing up their statements with vows and oaths in order to be believed. Citizens of the kingdom of God are to be truthful, and people are to know that our yes means yes and our no means no. And the third thing, disciples of Christ are to be truthful and trustworthy so that it is not necessary for us to swear an oath or to add to what we said, I promise, or believe me, or trust me, it's true. So our challenge today is this. Can others count on you to keep your word? And when you say you will do something, is it as good as done? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your teaching today. And Lord, continue to teach us and help us to understand the Sermon on the Mount and the things that you spoke. God, help us to have truthfulness in our heart. Help us to be faithful with the words that we speak and the promises that we make to you and that we make to one another. Help us, God, to be known as people who have truthfulness and faithfulness in their lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.